From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Michelle Norris.
And I'm Robert Siegel. Today, North Korea said that it considers UN sanctions aimed at punishing the country for its nuclear test a declaration of war. In a statement, the North Korean government said it is quite nonsensical to expect North Korea to yield to the pressure and threat of someone at this time when it has become a nuclear weapons state. And now Japan and South Korea have reported that North Korea might be preparing to test a second nuclear weapon. Well, Nicholas Burns is the Undersecretary of State for Political Affairs, and he joins us now by phone. Welcome back to the program.
Thank you, Robert.
What do you know about these reports first that North Korea may be preparing to test a second nuclear weapon?
We've just seen press reports. We certainly cannot confirm them, but I would say this, Robert. This would be an extraordinarily unwise move by the North Koreans. It would be an act of belligerency. It would not be understood by any country in the world, and I think it would just serve to reinforce the grave doubts that countries like China and Russia, the United States, Japan, South Korea have about the North Korean leadership, and it would certainly serve to isolate them further beyond where they are now.
An act of belligerency is a very powerful phrase. I mean, it suggests an act of aggression.
I think, you know, what happened last week when the North Koreans conducted their nuclear test, this is, of course, following the ballistic missile tests of July, unnerved all of the neighbors of North Korea. You saw, I think, an extraordinary reaction from China of anger, of agreeing with the United States and the rest of the countries that we ought to take and accept and make this very forceful UN Security Council resolution. I think a second nuclear test would just reinforce all those doubts, and it would probably lead to another Security Council resolution with even stronger sanctions.
So, would it require another one? That is, the implication would be you can pass these sanctions and the North Koreans can do exactly what they did to provoke them in the first place. Would that require yet new sanctions?
It wouldn't require sanctions. But it would be logical that we'd want to drive up the cost to the North Koreans of this behavior. They don't have a single country in the world supporting them. Mm-hmm. It's an unstable, erratic regime, as you know. They now have the ability to conduct a nuclear test. They are trying to perfect the means to deliver a nuclear weapon. And I think we now have a strategic consensus among the great powers of Asia and the Pacific region, that includes China and Russia, that we certainly have to send them a powerful message of opposition. And when I say that, I mean diplomatically. We are on a diplomatic path here, and we're very much trying to work multilaterally with China and Russia and the other countries, Japan and South Korea, to combine in our efforts so that the North Koreans don't think they can play one of us off against the other.
In terms of the Chinese reaction, the Chinese ambassador did say yesterday of enforcing sanctions, inspections, yes, but inspections are different from interception and interdiction. What did you take that distinction to mean?
Well, we are reminding the Chinese again today that they signed up to the UN Security Council resolution passed last Saturday. They therefore have an obligation to fulfill and implement all of it. And of course, inspections are important, and we have reports that the Chinese are now stepping up their inspections of the truck traffic that goes across the Yalu River from China into North Korea. That's positive. But one of the provisions in the Security Council resolution also calls for the possibility of interdictions on the high seas should there be suspicious cargo on North Korean vessels. And all of us know that for the past decade or so, North Korea has been a serial proliferator of its nuclear technology. And so we certainly, Japan, Australia, many other countries, are going to be watching very closely to see if North Korea continues with that nefarious tradition. And it's very much in the interest of China to assist us in making sure that those kinds of illegal nuclear exports are not going to third countries that should not have them.
Secretary of State Rice has said that the situation with North Korea should be a warning to Iran. Has the situation with North Korea in any way changed the dynamic with Iran at the United Nations or elsewhere?
I think it has, because Iran is the bookend of this problem of nuclear proliferation in the world. The fact that North Korea conducted a nuclear test has raised anxieties internationally about Iran, because we have an opportunity with Iran, which is well behind the North Koreans in developing its nuclear program, to stop them now. So that 10 years from now, we're not dealing with an Iranian nuclear test or Iranian launches of ballistic missiles. And
by which you're not merely talking about the example of North Korea, you're talking about the transfer of technology from North Korea to Iran.
It's the example of North Korea, but it's also the fact that we believe there have been links between North Korea and Iran in the development of the Iranian nuclear program. So we're beginning this week in the Security Council a debate on sanctions for Iran. We and the British, the French, the Germans, the Russians, and Chinese have all agreed that because Iran turned us down on our invitation to negotiate with them just over the last several weeks, we have no option but to impose a sanctions regime on Iran.
But do you see the kind of convergence of views of the other powers around the Iranian issue, say, a convergence of views that includes the Russians and the French in the way that you see around North Korea?
I think there's probably a more acute level of concern over North Korea because they've actually conducted a nuclear test. Iran has not done that. But it is important that Russia and China have agreed with us as recently as several days ago that we will have a sanctions regime. What we have not yet decided is the specific nature of those sanctions. But I'm confident at the end of that process, there will be a similar international rebuke of the Iranian regime. These are important issues for Americans and for the future of our country. We do not want to live in a world where President Ahmadinejad of Iran or President Kim Jong-il of North Korea have nuclear power that is unconstrained. That's against all American interests, and we've got to be strong in facing both of these threats.
Secretary Burns, thank you very much for talking with us.
Robert, thank you. Appreciate it.
That's Nicholas Burns, the Undersecretary of State for Political Affairs, who spoke to us from the State Department.